In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. Today, this particular Sunday, marks the end of a cycle that had many little cycles within it. 120 days ago, the church commemorated the Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. And that began the three-week pre-triodian period. And then the church began the Great Fast, also called Great Lent. And those 40 days were preparation for Great and Holy Week that began with the event of raising Lazarus from the dead. They were the central events of salvation history, and it culminated, of course, as we know, with the resurrection of our Lord Jesus the Christ. On that Sunday, there followed 8 days. It's called Bright Week. And then all these Sundays after the resurrection, helping us to enter into the event, the greatest event in all of human history, where God, the man, went into death and he came out, conquering death, trampling death once and for all. And then there were 40 days where our Lord was with the church on earth, preparing them, and then he ascended into heaven, taking into heaven a human nature, glorifying a human nature, or human nature itself. And then 10 days later came forth the second greatest gift, the second paraclete, that the Father could give to the world, the gift of his own Spirit, the gift of the Spirit that he gave to his Son, and that same Spirit is given to us on Pentecost. 120 days, basically 4 months, the third of the entire liturgical year. And this first Sunday after Pentecost is called the Feast of All Saints. In a way, it's celebrating all of what's been, all the purpose, all the meaning, all the reason of these last 4 months. It's the culmination of everything that's been happening since that Sunday of the publican and the Pharisee. In fact, it's even the whole reason for the incarnation. So we can actually go back 6 months. So really it's half the year. The reason for the incarnation, the reason for the nativity, the very reason for the passion, the very reason for the resurrection, the very reason for the ascension, the very reason for Pentecost was to make you and me sharers in the divine life. And we call these people saints. That is, my friends, the universal vocation of the human person. That is the reason why you and I are created, to be vessels, tabernacles of the living God. And when the living God is dwelling in you, you are divinized. You are deified. The 20th century French poet and novelist Léon Bloy said it best. Quote, "The only real sadness, the only real failure, the only great tragedy in life is not to become a saint." End of quote. This Sunday of All Saints, therefore, reveals the purpose and the mission of the Incarnation, Pentecost, and the mission of the Church on earth. Because as I preached last Sunday in the homily for Pentecost, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Church can never be separated. And so this Sunday is a fitting conclusion of a six month-long journey for all of us. One holy priest said, quote, "A church that does not cultivate saints is not a church. It is merely an institution that abuses the nature of the church." End of quote. And what does it mean to be a saint? The word comes from the French, saint, which derives from the word, Latin word, sanctus, meaning consecrated, set apart. Anytime the church consecrates something, like an altar, sacred temple, baptizes you, it's setting, it's called a consecration, a priest. You are set apart from something else. In this case, for holiness, you are set apart from all things that are not godly, from all that is not of God, from all that does not belong to God. And then within that which has been consecrated, there are things that are set apart even from among us. This church is a building, yes. A bank is a building. An amphitheater is a building. An arena is a building. Your house is a building. But we don't consecrate them. But we consecrate this church. We call it a sacred temple. This building is set apart for the work of God, making this building the most important building in all of this metroplex or for any church. This is the most important building, and therefore we give everything to this building. It takes first, it takes priority in our lives because this is God's house. This altar, this is a table, like you have a table in your home. Like you have tables in restaurants. But we don't consecrate those tables. We consecrate this table. This is God's table. And therefore this should be the most decorated, beautiful table. More worthy, more noble looking than your table in your home. You and I have been consecrated. You and I do not belong to ourselves, nor do we belong to this world and all those who are not baptized. When you are baptized, you are consecrated, and on that day you became set apart for God's people. That's what it means to be a saint or holy. In the book of Leviticus, quote, God instructs his chosen people, "You shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord, who is holy," and note what he says, "has separated you from all peoples that you should be mine." End of quote. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 26. There it is. To be holy means you've been set apart and now you belong to God. So much for that awful demonic phrase, "It's my body, I can do with it what I want." No. If you've been baptized, you belong to God. Your body's not even your own. A saint is someone who's separated from that which is not of God so that you can live totally. You can live totally to and for God. That is the reason why we show up on Friday nights. That is the reason why we show up on Sundays. We live first and foremost for God. And so we are here with him to praise him, to worship him, to adore him. It's not first and foremost to receive the Eucharist. That was the case. If you were in sin, you wouldn't even come to your liturgy because you can't receive the Eucharist. That's not why we first and foremost we come. This is the climax. This is the climatic moment where you can receive the Eucharist. But we come to the liturgy first and foremost to worship because we belong to God. And our mission, our vocation is to worship God. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus the Christ instructed us in these words, quote, "Everyone who has left house, brothers, sisters, father or mother, wife or children, or lands for my sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall possess life eternal." End of quote. In other words, once you've been consecrated, you should put nothing before your relationship with God, even that which is most dear and close to you. Flesh and blood does not take priority over your relationship with God. You have been set apart for Him, so much so that He shed His own blood for you. In his first epistle, the Apostle Paul, Peter, if you heard it, he goes back, he quotes Leviticus. Quote, "As he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." End quote. So Peter, the Apostle, quoting Leviticus, demonstrates the continuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Nevertheless, the New Testament is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. So while the whole human person is created to be a saint, and God makes that clear in Leviticus, it cannot happen except through the power of the living person, Jesus of Nazareth, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So despite the fact that the Jews tried to obey the law, they could not. They could not become what they're called to be, because Christ and the Holy Spirit had not come yet. God was preparing them. He was setting them apart. It was through this people that He was going to come into the world and then make us what we could not become, what the law could not make us. Godly people. The Apostle Peter instructs, be holy yourselves in your conduct. Your actions and your words always be godly. In other words, become images. Become images of agape. Become images of selfless love. Sacrificial love. That's agape. Charity. At the end of the day, when we look at all these saints, while they come from all walks of life, all backgrounds of life, they're short, they're fat, they're tall, they're skinny, some are peasants, some are royalty, men and women, children, old and young, but they all had this one mark, agape. They had charity, whether they were uneducated or educated, degrees in theology or whatever, or nothing. They had charity. The passage from the letter to the Hebrews reminds us of the exalted vocation that to become holy, to live out this agape, to live out sacrificial love, it is a struggle. And it demands long suffering, it demands endurance. And it demands encouragement in core, strengthening the heart. Your heart has to be in the struggle, otherwise you won't make it. Quote, having such a, this is what Hebrews tells us. Quote, the author tells us, having such a cloud of witnesses around us. That's why we have the icons, not pictures hanging on the wall. They're here with us. That's an icon showing these people. They are here with us. So this cloud of witnesses around us, let us get rid of every burden and of the sin entangling us and run with endurance to the fight proposed to us. Contemplating the author and final end of faith, Jesus the Christ. End of quote. The work of sacrificial love demands endurance, demands long suffering. It's a fight, it's a struggle. It's an asceses, asceticism. Today's commemoration not only reminds you and me of our noble vocation to be holy, to be godly. May today the church puts this feast day on this Sunday to stir and arouse in us to continue this fight, to get in the race. You may have fallen off. You may have gotten tired. You may have gotten bruised. All right. You are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses who are just like you and me. Get back in the race. Struggle with them. Stand with these witnesses. That's what we do every time we have this liturgy. The early church, if you read St. Paul's letters, called the Christians saints. May today's feast inspire you and me to continue the race, taking consolation in this cloud of witnesses, repeating always that great petition we hear in our liturgies and in our prayers. Quote the litany, remembering our holy, spotless, and most highly blessed, glorious Lady Theotokos, and all the saints, we commend ourselves and one another and our whole life to Christ our God. Christ is among us.